Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining this live session. My name is Dr. Pulmeet Kanlas, and I'm a primary care physician. Today, we will be discussing very important topic, vertigo and dizziness. As you grow old, the incidence and prevalence of dizziness continue to go up. Dizziness provokes very severe physical and emotional response in everybody, and it makes us unsteady. And there are a lot of faults worldwide reported due to this benign condition. Today, my goal here is to understand what dizziness is, how we could treat it when we have it, and what are the strategies, both physically, nutritionally, and exercise-wise, we could do to prevent from happening it over and over again. See, dizziness affects about 6 to 10% of people all over the world, depending on where we are and also how old we are. In Western world, we find more and more people are living longer age, and they have a higher incidence of vertigo, dizziness, benign position, vertigo, and we will demystify all of these terms in a minute. But I just want to set up a ground level why we are discussing this one is. There is not a day in the office I don't see somebody who is totally devastated with this condition. And also, there are many patients who end up falling and leading to hospitalization, leading to fractured hip. Further, lot of other patients end up restricting their social life. They stop going outside. They stop doing the activities what they enjoy and they would like to do. So that kind of was very motivational for me to understand and make you understand in a proper way so that you understand. So we will divide this discussion into three parts. First, we will decide, first we'll understand what dizziness is and what vertigo is. And we will define its definition, how our body controls our balance, and then we will go over all the diseases which can lead to this imbalance. Then we will discuss all the preventive strategies, both nutritionally and exercise-wise. And then what we will do is we will discuss red flag signs. When this dizziness, you could let it go and treat it at home. It will be general guidelines. It does not replace your evaluation by your physician. Also, then we will come up with the treatment strategies. See, our balance. We are the only animal in this world who are bipedal. We walk on 2 feet and we maintain our balance completely, to the point that we could do very fine activities like going through narrow alleys, narrow pathways, very finely going through different things in our environment, to the point that we could shoot up, down, horizontally, rotatory. So we have this capacity, and nature has devised a system where our brain is constructing on 24-hour basis our image, holographic image, where we are in our surrounding and how we could navigate those surroundings. So nature has dedicated a lot of brain real estate and a lot of hard drive and computational assets regarding maintaining your balance. There are three systems primarily involved which keeps us upright, keep us having very fine movements, and we could navigate our environment. Number one is our visual input. About 1/3 of the posterior part of the brain is dedicated to your vision only, and that vision provides us our 360 image of our environment. Every muscle fiber in our brain, in our body, is mapped in the brain, in the posterior part, which is cerebellum. This is, you might have seen the puppet show, arms, hands, everything, how everything is mapped and they can play with their finger. The same way, every muscle fiber is mapped into our posterior part of the brain, which is cerebellum and the basal ganglia modify our movements. So brain has our kind of a image and place and know about our each muscle fiber. How much is contracting, how much is relaxing, what's the position of our joint says, how much they are flexed, extended, depending on where we are. So brain has our information on our muscle fibers, our joint positions, and with that creates a proprioceptive sensation where if I stand up and it's our everything in my brain is mapped up, and it will my brain make certain muscles to contract, certain muscles relax, and perfectly so that I can stand up and carry out the movement. But I don't fall. I could stand on my 1 foot for X number of minutes, and it keeps on my balance. Then third system which is involved in keeping us balanced is our inner ear. Inner ear has a very unique position. Inner ear does two things. Now, we know ear with our sound. We hear with our through our ear, but ear is also very much, or it's very important in involving our balance. We have external ear pinna, which we know. We know the external auditory meatus, the sound from external auditory meatus, the ear of the pinna, go to an external artery canal. Then we have a tympanic membrane. Then in the middle ear, there are three bones. Those bones on one end, they are attached to your membrane. And on the other side, they are attached to your inner ear. So they basically, what happens when the sound comes in, they sets your tympanic membrane to vibrate and they increase the amplitude of the sound, which leads to increased impulses going to your inner ear. Then the inner ear is very complicated. Inner ear has two parts. One part which is dedicated to controlling sound, and the other part is dedicated to our balance. The one which is with the sound we call cochlea, and the part which is we are involved in the your balance is called vestibular tractus. And the way they have is, it's like a three circular canals in three dimensions. So that's why we could assess our rotatory position. And say, for example, when we go on a merry-go-round, we are running, then the horizontal semicircular canal is in action. If we shoot up like a rocket, then the vertical comes in, then the elliptical comes in. So that's how the rotational movement and the horizontal movement inner ear contributes to that. Inside this very complex organ, which is that there are different parts to our cochlea than the vestibular part, there is a fluid, and that the inner lining of this apparatus is lined by the cells, which have a lot of hairs, and that's how from where they derive their name, hair cells. When this fluid moves, these hair cells get stimulated, and on the back end of this hair cell, there are nerve fibers. So the nerve fibers get excited and gets into electrical current, which moves through vestibular cochlear nerve, the nerve which is involved in sound and your balance. See what happens. Sound comes in from there. Pinna, the shape of the pinna is like a receiver. It collects all the sounds. It travels to the external artery meatus. The strikes are tympanic membrane. On the other side, there are three bones, stapes, pincus, and they amplify the sound, and they put the fluid in the inner ear in motion. And depending if they sound, that kind of we hear. But when there is a change in position, like sitting, standing, moving, and this happens, that also sets up that fluid in motion. It stimulates hair cell. On the other side, it is the nerves, the roots. So here, whether it's a balance or with the sound, the electrical energy, the mechanical energy gets involved, gets converted into electrical energy. Then it travels. If it's a balance part, it moves to the vestibular part of the vestibular cochlear nerve. If it's a sound, it goes the other side. Then this nerve travels into our brain, through the brainstem. Then it goes to auditory cortex. This is the place or the temporal region. That is where we have the sounds and the balance and everything gets interpreted. So it's a very complex mechanism. So if we summarize how body is controlling, body controls through our vision. Number two, through proprioceptive sensation, through every muscle fiber, joint position, everything is mapped in the brain. And third, the rotational and the horizontal line. It is the vestibular system, which is in your inner ear. So your body is constructing, or your brain is constructing, three-dimensional image of this body and your environment. That's how we are able to navigate. So if there is a problem in any of these three systems, whether it's a problem with the vestibular system or it's a problem with the lining up your or mapping up your muscle fibers, or there is a problem with your vision, will have mismatch, and that will cause disequilibrium. And that is what it brings to the next topic, which is what is the difference in the symptoms which are coming from your vision? What are the symptoms which are coming from your vestibular system? And what is the system, which is the symptom, nature of the symptoms from when it's involved musculoskeletal system? Eyes. Before we get into that, we turn a broader term which we call dizziness. Dizziness is anything to do with our balance. So if you look at balance and motion, I'm sitting here outside. I am pretty balanced. I'm not falling. I'm not swaying at this part of it. It's when you're sitting in one place and you're doing the thing, my feet is touching the ground, my knee is bent. This whole information is going to your posterior part of your brain, which is cerebellum. If there is a problem here, then the general term, which is the broader term, which we call dizziness, I will be swaying. I will have a disequilibrium. See, it's a difference between when we have the inner ear symptom or the vestibular system. That is the time we have the spinning sensation. When you have a problem with the musculoskeletal system, you are swaying. You cannot control your swaying. But once you have a problem with the vestibular system, remember I explained three semicircular canals, which keeps us in three-dimensional position. And that is which gives us we keep this thing. So if the symptoms are coming from our vestibular system, then it will be circulatory, or we have a spinning sensation. If there is a problem with the visual cortex, we will have vision problem, and you will feel the things are not in focus. They are moving in and out of the focus. The symptoms will be of that nature. Now, this whole, your brain, whether it's muscles or your inner ear, they all need to be supplied blood. If there is a problem with that, you're not getting enough blood supply to the brain or your individual organs, you will have a problem maintaining the proper functioning of this thing. So that's where your heart, cardiorespiratory system, when there is a problem, especially cardiovascular, if there is a problem with that, you will have your brain, even though maybe structurally intact, but physiologically it's not working. So your heart can also contribute to dizziness. The dizziness which comes from cardiovascular system most of the people describe as a sinking sensation. When they stand up, they feel that they are dragging. They're sinking. Their heart is sinking. They describe it very significantly, their sinking sensation. Then this kind of sensation primarily happens that the blood volume is decreased. Say, for example, if you're dehydrated or you're bleeding, that can lead to this sinking. So if there is a significant obstruction to the flow of the blood, like if you have a brain has a dual blood supply, if you have hardening of the arteries, and if all are blocked, you will have the even though you have enough volume, your heart is generating enough force, but it is not enough, the blood is not getting up there, you will have the dizziness. So cardiovascular system, if there's a problem with the volume, problem with the obstruction, problem with the pump or the heart, it will lead to dizziness. Next is metabolic reasons. Say, for example, if you're diabetic and if you have a sugar drop, you know everything is out of tipsy-turvy and everything is out of balance. And that's how your low blood sugar can contribute to that. And then thyroid problems, calcium problem, magnesium problem, potassium problem, they can all lead through different mechanisms. Usually, there is not one pure form of what dizziness, I would say dizziness, which anybody gets. Then we come out of all the things which so far we are discussing, visual problem, proprioceptive problem, heart problem, metabolic problem, endocrine problem. But one of the biggest thing is which the reason for your dizziness or the spinning sensation is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. Is V, abbreviated as V, benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. And that is the cause in about 99% of the cases, one disease, even though we have discussed everything. And what happens here is the utricle, in the, remember I explained to you, in the inner ear, there is a part of the brain which is called utricle, from where two vestibular and the cochlear part takes its origin. It has a small calcium crystal. And these calcium crystals are supposed to stay in the utricle because they are being floated into that utricle. That gives a sense of position from the impulses coming from that. It keeps it there. But if one of those crystals move out of utricle and get into semicircular canals and it start touching the hair cells or irritating or starting the action or stimulation of those hair cells, that will lead to, depending on which canal, usually it enters on the posterior part. That's where most of the people, when we get spinning sensation in the horizontal plane, we get that. But if that crystal gets into that, that will provoke dizziness. And that is one of the, as I said, more than 95% of us have, due to benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, that this calcium carbonate ion crystal, it moves out of the utricle and get into one of the semicircular canals. And depending on which of the canal it enters, those are the exercises which are the treatment which you will need to have this thing corrected. Now, let's understand the types of this vertigo. The types of vertigo is which we cover, either it can happen that something is wrong with the inner ear apparatus or nerve, or there is a problem in the brain when the nerve enters the brain, if there is a problem in the nerve, or it's in the problem of circulation. So I want to summarize the reasons for or the etiology of dizziness is, once the reason is not involving the brain tissue itself, like everything outside brain, whether it's cardiovascular, metabolic, and or inner ear, or the cranial nerve, before it enters into the brain, we call it referral vertigo. But if there is a disease which involves when this whole part involves the brain tissue itself, if something is wrong with the brain tissue, then we call it central vertigo. The reasons are different. Peripheral vertigo, as I said, 95% plus is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo where the crystal gets into that. Very rarely trauma, inflammation, and infection can contribute to that. But most of the time, it will be those reasons. But once you have the brain, what are the conditions which can do? Those are the ones which are usually the serious cases. You could have a stroke, multiple sclerosis, tumors, or the infection in and around the brain tissue itself when it happens. Those are the reasons for central vertigo. And I don't think anybody at home should try to discriminate whether something is wrong with my brain or if something is a peripheral vertigo. If you have these symptoms, which are lasting, you should seek help, and your physician will re-stratify you, and he or she is doing this thing on a full-time basis, they will be able to help you and understand that part. Now, what are the usually the how you could differentiate or how you need to know how to act? Anything peripheral, usually the symptoms are very severe, they are very quick, they happen on head position, changing the head position. Most of the time you are sleeping or sitting, you move in the bed and this your whole world starts spinning. Or sometimes, say for example, you're driving and you suddenly change, you look this side of this bar, and thus the crystal moves out and can do that. Point here is, if it's an episodic, happens suddenly, those usually are the one which is peripheral. They will not kill you, but they can lead to accident and kill you indirectly. So no matter how you get benign position of vertigo or any kind of vertigo, you must pay attention. And then how do you proceed? In central vertigo, you will have constant nagging this sensation. And that is what which makes it very difficult. As a patient, you continue to ignore it, and it could be something ominous. So you want to make sure that if you have persistent, mild, not very severe and episodic, which we have described, you must seek help, because it's important that you don't ignore it. So now what happens is you have realized that you have a problem, and you go to your physician, and your physician will take your clinical history, and then they will examine you to look at it, and there are a lot of tests which your physician can do that. The one of the main tests he may, for the peripheral neuropathy vertigo, he will do Dix-Hallfeig maneuver, in which what he's doing is, he is just reproducing the movement, the head movement, which will lead to movement of that crystal, and they will be able to evaluate which canal is involved, and they should be able to either themselves, or they can refer you to vestibular exercise specialist. And there are a lot of medications which can they can help you to control your symptoms, which we'll cover in a second. But if your physician expects or worried that you have central vertigo, then he or she may order CAT scan, MRI, then special studies on your inner ear and hearing, and sometimes they refer you to vestibular specialists, sometimes to the ENT specialist, based on what is important. One of the other important reason people get very dizzy is anxiety and depression too. Because what happens is in anxiety and depression, you hyperventilate, that leads to chemical changes, and it can make you transiently dizzy. So anxiety also can contribute. If nothing else happens, once you are dizzy and your world is spinning, or you are spinning, you become very extremely aware and very nervous. So anxiety has a lot also to do with how severe we perceive these symptoms. Treatment depends on, first thing, we decide whether it's a central vertigo or peripheral vertigo. That's one. Second is, we want to make sure nothing is going on the visual system, so you will have the eyes checked. Then the third is, that for the musculoskeletal, you are dizzy as if you are drunk, you will need those studies which I mentioned just now, CAT scan, MRIs, and all those things. Let's focus our discussion now, which is will be 95% of the time will be benign position of vertigo. Now the question comes in is, why that crystal comes out of that space where it needs to be in your inner ear? Number one thing is because of the age. With age, your inner ear apparatus becomes loose, or that's the easiest way to make you explain that those crystals have a way coming out of it. They have found people who have a head trauma and they are at high risk, and people who have recurrent infection of the middle layer, they are at a higher risk to develop this benign paroxysmal position of vertigo. In this one, we could do two things. Number one, we will teach you exercises, and those exercises is the intention is to reverse the first when the physician evaluates you, they will have a understanding which semicircular canal the crystal is going, and then they will advise you exercises, and those exercises which you're trying to move that crystal back into the where it's supposed to be. That way you are your symptoms abate. And then you have to do the exercises on an ongoing basis, because once you know those exercises, you could prevent the exercise. You become more attuned to it and more habituated to those exercises. My biggest problem with my senior patients is we do everything to train them and teach them exercises. When the symptoms go away, they do not continue to do the exercises. That is free for failure. Once you have this thing, it will happen again, and most likely it will happen at wrong time. So once you have it and you are taught those exercises, please do not stop doing the exercises. Then we have medications. All antihistaminics and anticoagulants, they decrease the sensitivity of the hair cells to initiate the action potential of the electrical current in the nerve. They usually help people decrease that. Sometimes we use steroids. Sometimes if we suspect antibiotics, depending on the etiology, we will use the antibiotics. I have already created another video about all the different exercises which you could do for to prevent and treat this vertigo, which we will post it in a day or so, because we're going through the final editing, and we will provide you that, and that will help you to take care of yourself at home. In addition to medications, which I said, anticholinergics, and which are most common are, which we use is the meclizine, and then any kind of, if you have a phenylalanine at home, they all will work. If you have infection, we will give you antibiotic. If you're nervous, we will give you this thing. We'll give you anti-anxiety and antidepressants to help you. Now question comes in, is there any else which you could do? Age is a privilege. Age is not a disease. What can you do nutritionally which to prevent this disease? Number one, medication. Make sure you see your physician and ensure that you are taking only those medications which you need, and you are not taking any medication which you should be able to get by. So minimize or de-scripting is the term which we use. Minimize your number of medication you're taking. Number two, keep yourself hydrated. Remember, we talked about the cardiovascular process. If you are not hydrated enough, that can lead to this disease. Next, high quality proteins, low carbohydrate diet, quality fat, again shown over and over to prevent this disease. Somebody can say so far from the discussion where this nutrition comes in, because every cell needs nutrition to work. So the principles which are good, avoid simple carbohydrate, quality fat, quality protein, plant-based, high diet, high-end fruits and vegetables, it is shown to help over and over. Then iron supplement, green leafy vegetables, organ meat will help you to either prevent or treat this. Foods which are high in vitamin D, nuts, which are high in trace minerals and vitamins, they also help to prevent this. So diet has a lot to do with that. General physical fitness, even walking or doing exercise, minimum of 6 minutes has shown to help. But the recommendations are 30 minutes, minimum 5 days a week, preferably 7 days a week, will help you. Then balance exercises, visual exercises, which we will send you in the video which we will post in a couple of days. That will have all the exercises where I will go over individual exercise that teach you how to do this thing. So these exercises, proper nutrition, not only will help you to prevent dizziness, that is also the treatment of dizziness. In conclusion, if we have to put it, summarize up to so far, before we go further, that you have your balance is a very intricate process in which your vision, your muscular system, and your inner ear, your vestibular apparatus, they play a pivotal role in keeping us in three-dimensional positions and navigate an environment safely. Sometimes, if there is a problem with any of these components, it will lead to different symptoms, which we describe overall term as dizziness. But as I went over, different component of this system will give you different kind of symptoms. But most common is vertigo, which is in term benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. It is due to the crystal. We talk about dye, we start with the physical therapy. Then there are a lot of questions. We always carry the list of questions which our patients have asked. Is it a preventable disease? For sure, if you eat right, do postural and balanced exercise, remain active and athletic, and keep yourself hydrated, you definitely can prevent it from happening. Next, how many people get affected? On an average, it's estimated about 8 to 10% of the population worldwide have this thing, this disease. It's episodic. Very rarely you get central vertigo. Most of the time it's peripheral. It is self-limiting. It has a mind of its own, and it's most of the time recurrent. It will happen. What is the best thing you could do? Best thing is proper nutrition, hydration, and exercise. I hope this video was helpful. We will post the exercises pretty soon and we will inform you. Thank you very much for joining, and thank you very much for giving your tight attention to this thing. We are very committed to continue to produce a content which is relevant to you and you learn. Let's all grow together. I request you subscribe to our channel because that will help us to stay focused and join and comment on our videos and content so that we can learn what makes sense for you, because we do this thing for you and we want to produce only the content which is for you. More questions you were asked on our community forum and other social media platforms, that will keep us motivated. Thank you very much, and you have a good weekend.